This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Unbelievable. A quadruple bet payoff Friday. Woolchuck just had some cornhole played in a very uncomfortable way as he was the target right between the legs. Looks like he's regaining the color in his face now. But Eric Chiafalo is going to have a disturbing color change in his shorts here a little bit later on as he has agreed to do the pee your pants bet payoff. Brian is going to shave both of his eyebrows, and I'm doing the Mr. Misty coming up in the expressway during What You Drinking and What You Thinking. Okay, we're standing by for Stephen Jones joining us. Mike McCarthy press conference coming up here at the bottom of the hour. We have a very busy Football Friday here for you on The Fan. Here's Woolchuck with some NFL news of the day.
Got a lot of injury updates for you. We got the Raiders. The Raiders. They've ruled out Devontae Adams. He's got a hamstring injury. Max Crosby's not going to be playing on Sunday against the Browns either. He's got an ankle. And Michael Mayer, their tight end, also out. So for our survivor picks this week, I'm already good. I got the Cowboys. They won. Are you going with the Browns, Brian? I don't think we got our picks in.
No, we haven't. Because I got to type them in. I am going to go with the Browns. Okay. I am going to Browns. Yes.
Well, it looks like this is a pretty injured.
Dawson's going with the Jets.
Yeah, Jets against the Broncos.
And what about you, Chief?
Oh, yeah, I was going to go with the Jets as well. If Aaron, there's no way Aaron Rodgers will allow on his ledger that he was beaten by Bo Nix.
Hell no.
Well, it's and it's the revenge happen. Nathaniel Hackett game.
Yes, it is.
So I like where your head's at there. We all of us might be good for next week. That's the hope.
Jets on a, you know, Jets had extra days to prepare for this one as well, having played last Thursday. So feeling good about it. Despite the laundry list of Raiders that are out due to injury, I still don't have the confidence like Broadus does to take the Browns.
No. Yeah.
That's how bad it is in Cleveland right now. They the Raiders are without all of their good players, and it's like, I still can't trust you, Cleveland.
It's a tough one to trust. I mean, Amari Cooper's lashing
out. What
do
I have to lose? I'm 0-3
right
now.
That's
true. Yeah, you're making history right now.
I could be at the spa place as Mrs. Doubtfire next week.
Hello.
You're on an epic heater. Yeah. Yes, you are.
Yep, Southern Leisure. Come on out for next Friday. That's going to be awesome as Tour Day DFW is commencing. And then tomorrow we're going around the Metroplex. I'll be at the Carrollton location. That's stop number two.
Garland number one.
Brian, you'll be at Garland number one. Eric and Denton, right?
Yes.
Stop number three. And then the General Gavin Dawson, stop number four in the Colony. And the rest of the way, he's going to drive you home there. So come on out, see us, and get your G-Bag flag tomorrow. A.J. Brown, questionable for Sunday against the Bucks for the Eagles. Devontae Smith is out with his concussion. So there's an update on where the Eagles are at. And a pretty good game there with Tampa Bay. Jordan Love for the Packers has practiced every day this week on a limited basis with that MCL sprain. He's officially listed as questionable as they're taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Another layer to that game, Jair Alexander is also questionable with a quad and a groin. He's got that rivalry with Justin Jefferson, but Jefferson says that I think he thinks about that a lot more than I do. I'm not really worried about Jair Alexander. That's a him problem. I live rent-free in his head. I'm just going to go do my thing. That's Justin Jefferson right there, and I like that. From
good
Justin.
Trash talk.
The Browns have ruled out tight end David Njoku, and they're starting offensive tackles, Brian. There's no Jedrick Wills, and there's no Jack Conklin.
Ouch.
So
ultimate backfire.
We got like two IR teams going at it again, similar to the game we picked last week.
So wait a minute. Jeez.
You want to? I think we're all okay if you want to pivot here.
Are we?
Eric, you don't look okay.
Well, I think we're all just pulling for history.
Locked in?
Let it ride.
All right, we're going to let it ride.
The elusive 0-4 start in Survivor. You know?
Let it ride.
Let it ride.
Yep. Is your mental health okay, Brian?
Yeah, I'm watching Justin Fields run the football to see if you can stop him right now.
Broadus's ability to do radio and do scouting is
Dawson
incredible.
Asked me how much read option stuff he runs.
Your ability, you can snap your fingers and boom, Justin Fields breakdowns are ready to rock and roll. Well, it's amazing the technology.
Look, if the Steelers coaches are intelligent at all offensively, they're going to watch the tape of what Lamar Jackson was able to do. You've got a mobile quarterback. you might as well go ahead and implement that. You don't have Micah Parsons. You don't have your best run defender in DeMarcus Lawrence. You're going to be having to go with Marshawn Nealand, who has been playing well, but that's a tough assignment. And then a lot of Carl Lawson, who we've seen get kind of cut up field a couple times this year. Also jumped off sides in last night's game for a penalty. So this is going to be a tough task against Justin Fields, even though their running game has been great. Jalen Warren's banged up. I don't think Jalen Warren's playing for Pittsburgh this week, but maybe he's back against the Cowboys. Now, yesterday, Malik Nabers made history. He had 12 catches, 115 yards. He's now got 35 catches, 386 yards, 3 TDs in 4 games this season. He's the first player in NFL history to have at least 25 catches, 3 TDs in the first 4 NFL games. TDs.
Wow, alien.
Total Recall.
Yep. Came out wrong. I apologize on that one. 25 catches.
Hell of a game. What a blessing.
And 3 touchdowns in his first 4 NFL games. That's pretty incredible. Like, he is an absolute freak show alien. And they've done it again. Another LSU receiver is at least starting his career red hot there in New York.
Evidently is. The way you just described his anatomy tells me he absolutely is an extraterrestrial.
He is. He's got 3 of them, actually. And there is some rumorooskies. Maybe he ends up being the newest State Farm guy. I think that this makes perfect sense. Oh. Like a good neighbor's State Farm is there. It's kind of like writing itself.
It's a lock.
You know? Why not? State Farm should really go ahead and jump on this with Malik Nabers.
Yeah. I mean, I like how they keep this bit rolling, you know, and I think it's a great one.
Yeah. And he's clearly...
really good.
Yeah.
What he's really good.
We knew how good he was coming in, but it was just kind of jarring at times. Yeah. How much was left out there because his quarterback can't quite help him the same way an above-average quarterback could.
Now, we had Brandon Aubrey.
I feel like once he was out, the Cowboys sideline relaxed.
Yeah, yes. I mean, you're not really nervous about anybody else.
Go ahead, Danny.
The aliens off the field, folks.
Guys, it's okay. We're all right. It'll be okay. Brandon Aubrey hit another 60-yarder, 16 for 16 when it comes 50 yards or longer. That's what he started with. Now, he did miss.
Yeah, he missed.
That 51-yarder at the end of the game. Now, this was a bad beat for a lot of people out there.
Yeah, it was.
Cowboys won by 5. You know what the spread was?
5.5, Walchuk?
Yeah, 5.5. So it opened as Cowboys minus 4, ended at Cowboys minus 5.5. Brandon Aubrey makes that field goal. Everybody's a winner. Unfortunately, he didn't. So over 80% of the bets were on the Cowboys minus 5.5. So there were a lot of people that were not happy after Brandon Aubrey missed that one. Idiots.
It stings, man. I didn't feel good about him enough to cover, though. Hmm. You know, but apparently 80%. You said 80%
of the bets were on the Cowboys to cover.
I did wake up a little less confident knowing that my kicker is mortal. I wasn't for sure that he was until last night.
I thought he was a robot too.
Yeah.
Just a freak show.
That was a technique mistake. He's going to clean that up, hit the next 30 in a row.
Yeah, that's what he needed, right? Yeah. You just need a reset, a cleanse. That was a good one to miss. Now you can go ahead and just start a new streak. That's what we're looking for.
Gotten too easy, you know? You need a reminder every now and then. You got to trust your process.
Yeah.
Now,
that miss was good.
It was good. We had the story about Christian McCaffrey.
Plus, you had money on the game.
Yeah. Only 80% of the bettors did.
The 20% that didn't.
All those people
thrilled.
Getting evicted.
Yeah, why
now?
Do we look at things so negative all the time? Yeah. It's always a bad beat. Why wasn't it a good beat for the 20%?
It was good for the 20%. They're happy today.
Good beat alert.
And the Cowboys won. So, all in all, it's a good day. Kyle Shanahan saying that they're going to get a better idea in the next couple weeks in regards to Christian McCaffrey.
Come on. You've sent him to Germany. Yeah. You already have an idea. You're bleeped. You paid him this offseason so that he can limp to the other side of the world and be told that he is no longer going to be eligible to be the best running back in football.
Yeah, I think he's pretty bleeped too. I don't know that he's going to play again this year, but we'll see.
Well, at least you didn't draft him in any of your fantasy leagues.
Oh, yeah, I feel so bad for him.
Unbelievable. If you did, if what an idiot. At least, you know, some people got Jordan Mason out there, so that's a win.
Still, it was the only thing that could have stopped the Niners was injuries, and unfortunately it's happened for them again.
I've got some audio I'd like to play in regards to the 49ers here. Do you think it's safe?
I think so.
Can I do this? Okay, this is from Pardon My Take, the podcast. This is Mike Silver, who was on with Sean and RJ earlier this week.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen to him talk about who should be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
There is something at 49er headquarters referred to as the Shanacam, which basically means Mike Shanahan needs to watch meetings and practice ASAP virtually.
That's awesome.
Some people think he's the shadow GM. I spent a bunch of time with him in May and June of 2022. And so in those conversations, I would ask about Trey Lance, of course, and Jimmy, and he kept talking about Brock Purdy because he'd seen some minicamp tape. And I was like, God, he's kind of weirdly into Brock Purdy, but, you know, whatever. He's the 262nd pick. Now they open against the Bears. It's Trey Lance's first game as the unquestioned starter. The day before, I go to Mike Shanahan's room, and I'm sitting up there, and I'm asking him about Trey Lance, and he again brings up Purdy, and he says, when you have a guy like that in your building, you don't let him out. And I'm like, are we talking about, you know, thinking?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so he's still got it.
Yeah, this is why I'm saying, like, how is he not, like, Brock Purdy is a guy who it took him going to a Super Bowl for everyone to be like, okay, maybe he's actually really good. Yeah. And Mike Shanahan, before he even takes a snap in the NFL, is like, this guy is going to be good.
Yeah, for the first time in Brock Purdy's career, I'm actually considering the idea that he might be a really good player for 12, 15 years. I just thought he was a product of the system and had a low cap number. And I still, when I watch him, I don't get it. Like, why you would be in a hurry to give this guy a big second contract. I don't think it's going to go well for the 49ers. But hearing that story, you know, there's a lot of ways to go with it. But number one, I don't think how it couldn't, you know, slow your roll a little bit on Brock Purdy doubting.
All it made me think of is, holy crap, maybe we should be looking into Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he just says, I don't want to coach.
I just want to help my kid.
Coaching.
Yeah.
But he's apparently got a Shanahan where he is watching every single practice. He is, quote unquote, the shadow GM.
Yeah.
If he's the one that has really had a lot to do with building the 49ers behind the scenes and been helping what is, we know his fingerprints offensively are all over the National Football League. I've mentioned how the Cowboys, if they move on from Mike McCarthy, I don't think they're hiring anybody in that pipeline that doesn't have head coaching experience. Why not just go to the top? Why not go to the head of the snake? Go after Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Mike Shanahan's one of those veteran guys that has skins on the wall and is a Super Bowl champion. Try and bring him in.
If Bill's not too old, Mike's not too old. You know, I think you hit it. It comes down to, does he have a desire to keep coaching? Does he want to help his son? Is this the perfect lifestyle thing where he can be a consultant and watch practice from his living room? That's kind of what it sounds like to me, but... Yeah, that would be awesome. And it makes me wonder if, like, all of his coaching principles, like, he's up to date on it and he's scouting the rest of the league and, you know, he knows how to continue to evolve and install the Shanahan running game that we knew, you know, 30 years ago had kind of taken the NFL by storm.
What an awesome storyline that would be. I mean, it does make sense that it would be an older guy that the Cowboys would be interested in. That they feel like has skins on the wall and everything like that. I would be super surprised. I wonder what the truth serum Mike Shanahan right now, who clearly doesn't have the itch to like seek out an opportunity. Like you said, he's shadow GMing right now for his son, probably enjoying his life tremendously and still getting the football itch scratched to some extent. And that's probably perfect for him. But what is the number? Like Urban Meyer just said, he'd go to Michigan for $25 million a year. You know, he'll throw away all of his principles. And that's a guy who's used to doing that. But I wonder what the number would be, because now you're directly, this is a rivalry and you are going head to head with your son. Ultimately, how much do you actually want to do that at 72 years old?
And you know, he's going to put together a good staff.
He starts poaching from Kyle's staff.
Hell, I mean, you look at that staff he had in Washington, and they did win a division title there. But I don't know. That's an interesting storyline.
Okay, we're going to step aside, come back with Stephen Jones. The Mike McCarthy press conference is set to go off at 3:30 as well, so we'll probably dip into some of that with you right here. It's a Football Friday on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. It's time for the Stephen Jones Show here on The Fan. Segment is brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable, accidents happen. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. And Stephen Jones joining you now here on your home of the Cowboys.
He's in the building!
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Well, good. I saw you guys had the fewest rushing yards allowed in any game this season. That's quite a bounce back from the last two games. I guess they were determined to get that shut down, huh?
Yeah, this is just a part of the growth when you change the scheme and
you change language, and obviously we have some young players, so that's part of it. Certainly no one's going to step up and declare everything's fixed. We've got a long journey. Football to be played, obviously some challenges that pop away, whether it's being down a couple of corners, or now we're obviously dealing with the Micah and B-Law situation. So, this is just part of playing in the NFL and playing a long season. And we know we've got a lot of work to do. It's a big, big win for us. We came off a strong fourth quarter against the Ravens and fought, and back to getting that game and didn't quite get there. But, followed it up with a what we feel is a good win against the Giants on the road, divisional opponent. And, they're a good football team.
What are we seeing from Mozzie here? It looks like he's started to come on a little bit, maybe his best game. What improvements have you seen from him?
No question. I think he's one of those guys that, everybody noticed. And, it's hard to get noticed at nose tackle, but he certainly did it. And, I think he's getting a feel for what Coach Zimmer and his staff want out of him. As you start to see it, and when Mike and his group came in and were working through what they needed, in an interior defensive lineman, it fits a lot more with what Mozzie did at Michigan. And certainly we thought a lot of him, enough to pick him in the first round. And I think you're starting to see him, really get comfortable. And I think that's, part of what we're going to keep working through here. As I said, no one's declared anything's fixed by any stretch. We've got a lot of work to do, and, we've got some challenges to work through.
You brought up Tank and Micah. Any more you can add to when they might possibly be able to get back? And then Deron Bland, any more information on his timetable?
Yeah, I think, Mike is going to be week to week. Every player is different, in terms of how their body heals and how they respond. Mike will be week to week, and we'll just, hadn't ruled him out for that matter for this week. But we'll just see how things go. D-Law's probably a little bit longer in terms of how long he'll take. But all these things will be situations, as we get our hands around over the next couple of days. See exactly where, once we get our hands on them and start working with them, Britt Brown, see where they go. And then Deron Bland's making good progress. This will be a big week to see, kind of where he is in terms of, how much longer it will be. Probably not this week, but certainly he's getting closer. And, be great to, when you got two of your top four corners not playing, then you get challenged. But a lot of teams have those challenges in terms of injuries and what they're working through.
When you're down two defensive ends, do you look at just addressing that internally, or would you maybe be more aggressive at trying to add some help at that area?
Well, we're always looking for help. I mean, that goes without saying. Certainly, so we got to have some guys internally step up, whether Nealon get more action, and of course he flashes and has shown making some plays in the game last night. And then you got a guy like Lawson who's been coming along and, felt like he had some disruptive plays in there. And then, we got Ty Weed on our team who's now going to see some opportunity, and we'll see what else may be out there.
Steven, it was pretty clear watching the game last night and then watching it again this morning that you guys were interested in trying to help BB with Lawrence, which is the right thing to do. I'm interested about Guyton, though.
I think most teams in the league, Brian, if you're a center going against him, they're looking for ways to help the center. Let's be clear about that. One of the best in the business.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I was just curious, though, about the thing with Guyton, though. And over 80% of the time he was facing some one-on-one stuff. Is it now hard to help tackles with chips and spacing and stuff like that just because you get in their way and it hurts them more than maybe, just leaving them one-on-one with those guys?
No, I just think each game plan's a little different, what you're going up against. As you continue to work, with a young Guyton who's just got so many tools to work with, and has certainly been outstanding as a rookie out there. But in terms of playing left tackle, but you know, it's just each game plan is a little different as to whether you you know, keep more people in and chip more, and you know, I think it's just week to week. And certainly, you know, we look at our offensive line and look at that as one of the strong points on this team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we were playing the team yesterday that has some really strong resources tied up in their defensive line with their Burns and Lawrence, and then, of course, their first-round pick. So, you know, that's just, you know, that's what you're going against. We'll play the Commanders as well, and they got a lot of resources in their defensive line. So, you know, as I say, any win in this league is a huge win, especially on the road against a divisional opponent.
Especially when, you know, your starting right guard has to deal with attempted eye gouges to him. That looked pretty tough last night there for Zach, huh?
Well, Zach, these guys, the amount of toughness that they have is just supreme. And it would make most ordinary men take a huge knee. He kind of jogs off, gets a few eye drops, gets it tended to, and he's back in. So, you know, that's just part of being in the trenches in the NFL. It's not for the faint-hearted.
How are the fans up there for you guys these days? You're not having to deal with any of that, are you?
No, I mean, it's we've been going up there for 30-plus years, and, you know, they've got a great atmosphere there at MetLife, and I've seen a lot worse to contend with than the Giants fans in terms of – they're great fans, I'm not saying that, but in terms of being a little on the rough and tumble side.
Steven, I don't know that I've seen more questions about a practice squad elevation than when it comes to Dalvin Cook, but what's your plan with him moving forward?
Yeah, Mike will address that as we move forward. We obviously got the big win getting it on a Thursday, and we need the full 10 days right now to just continue to take a look at where we are. We're a work in progress. We know there's nothing perfect right now, but also see that, you know, this team's going to be a team that I think gets better every week and going to have challenges just like we have with our injury situation right now. We'll continue to look at all aspects of our personnel here during this 10-day window, and then, you know, we'll go back to work. We're getting ready to play a hell of a Pittsburgh Steeler team. Nothing but respect for Coach Tomlin. Serve on the competition committee with him. He's as great a football coach as there as that I've been around in terms of, you know, the respect I have for him. And, you know, it's going to be all hands on deck against the Steelers.
Yeah, after seeing what Lamar did, how confident are you guys just a couple of weeks later against you know, a quarterback who might not be as fast but can really you know, move the ball with his legs?
Well, like I said, we've got a lot of work to do, and certainly when you got a quarterback who's you know, who they really count on you know, to be an element in the rushing game, which certainly Lamar was, and certainly this guy is doing a hell of a job for the Steelers. And you know, they've always been known. I mean, this division we're playing in the AFC right now with Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cincinnati. You know, they're you know, it's a tough group. So it's good for us. It'll make us better as a football team in the long haul. But we certainly got our work cut out for us.
Steven, does it speak to the chemistry and the type of bond and leadership you have in that locker room when you see a guy like Micah Parsons rubbing out a cramp for his teammate there, Trayvon, on the field?
Hey, it's all – these guys are competitors. I know everybody can be critical in terms of the banner that goes on when there's – you know, when you're going through a rough patch. But, you know, I like the makeup of this football team and, you know, really feel like, you know, this is one of those teams that I think is just going to get better and better with each week.
Steven, I was curious, in your scouting meetings, when the scouts were talking about Hunter Lipke, did they say that he can do everything that he's doing right now? Or is this guy just getting better and better? I know that, you know, we've all evaluated his college tape. He was a fine player at North Dakota State. But has he really done more than you even envisioned?
Yeah, we would have drafted him had we known
exactly.
Hunter was going to be Hunter.
Yeah.
And Hunter didn't make the team till about the last week of Trent. The last week before the cut. So he was headed toward a practice squad early, and all he does is keep elevating himself in terms of being a football player who is such a integral part of everything that we do, whether it's special teams, blocking your man, catching the ball, running it on short yardage. He's just been a great asset for Dak and our offensive football team.
Thank you so much, Steven. Have a great weekend off, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Thanks a lot. Always good being on, guys.
Salute. There you go, Steven Jones here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. I was wondering in there, you know, you talk about changing defenses, how important it will be at the end of this year to keep Mike Zimmer. You know, this is not a question for week five, but, you know, I think looking forward, ideally you would have enough success and feel like we're building. He is 68 years old.
Yeah, and you wonder, though, would
a head coach want a different guy?
Sometimes, say it's a first-year head coach.
Yeah.
Say if you do get a Ben Johnson. I'm just using him as a first-year head coach example. You know, maybe then it's one of those things where if your Jones is on an interview, you ask him, Ben Johnson, tell me your staff. Mm-hmm. Who's your staff? And, you know, if his staff is, you know, like, okay, I can understand that. Or maybe you suggest, well, we got a Mike Zimmer. We got an Al Harris. You know, we've got a couple of guys that, you know.
We're feeling pretty good over here on defense, aren't we?
Yeah, would you be interested in talking to? But if you're a guy like Belichick, you know, I don't know if you necessarily, you know, bring in.
Oh, yeah, Belichick would.
Yeah, you don't bring in. You know, Mike doesn't get that opportunity probably. But if you're a first-year head coach.
Bill would probably be like, hey, Mike, you want to coach the offense? The defense is fine, but you can have that offense thing.
Yeah.
On offense, my only beef last night, well, there's quite a few beefs, but it's very static. But I think my number one thing is trying to throw to Brandon Cooks on third and long. Like, he's at the sticks fighting for it, and he's just too small to hold anybody off.
Well, see, this is where in Cresty's corner today, you guys remember the play. Remember when they stack him behind Ferguson? This is what they need to do more with Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
They stack it behind Ferguson, and they run Ferguson up the field, like creating a natural pick.
I like it.
And then they run Cooks behind him in the wake and then break him on that, and Cordell Flott can't keep up with him.
No.
So now you've got Cooks on full gallop, catching the ball on the move and breaking tackle and then going, but you've created opportunity for him by running a vertical pick with Ferguson. How do you not do that more?
No, it's
how
do you, it's a
great question.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's when I watch other tape, when I watch a San Francisco or a Minnesota or these other teams play, and they're creating separation for their guys to...
Just based on alignment and scheme.
Alignment and scheme.
Yeah.
Flagtober 2024 starts tomorrow. The Tour de DFW starts at 9 a.m., goes till 6:30, a giant loop around North Texas, handing you the free, brand-new Whataburger 2024 G-Bag Nation flag at participating Whataburger locations, brought to you by Southern Leisure Spas and Patio. You can find all the details at G-Bag Nation on X. You did mention the corner, Brian. Where exactly are you taking us?
Yeah, I've got this film broken down for you, and I'm going to tell you the type of day that Mozzie Smith did have. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, we have Nick Harris from the Star-Telegram coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on what the Cowboys win means going forward. It's time now, though, for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's himself, Brian.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you very much to Reliant. Mike McCarthy, that press conference he's having, right, is a like a phone one, right?
Tele.
I just saw a tweet from Todd Archer, though. Says McCarthy says Micah Parsons' ankle and DeMarcus Lawrence's foot are getting second opinions on their injuries. He said Lawrence is worse than Parsons, but both are worse than they anticipated.
Oh, worse than they anticipated now. Yeah. Sounds like we've taken a pessimistic turn. Yeah,
are worse than we anticipated was the quote that he said.
Hopefully not broken foot.
Yeah, I was hearing like a foot sprain.
So we have just bad sprains. They were hoping for like a little tweak or a bruise or something, and it's like, hey, this is going to be multiple weeks.
When it happened, when I was watching the play, it was the one where he was chasing Jones to the outside, and Jones escaped, and he just missed him, and his foot hit really funny on the turf. And I'd seen him do this before, and so I thought, man, this is when he gets that midfoot sprain. And then you're watching the game, and they're taping the bottom of his foot.
Yeah.
They're taping, and it's not like a normal wrap and like an ankle wrap. It's a bottom of the foot kind of a thing. And I was thinking, oh, that's a sprain right there. But, you know, he didn't come back in. I mean, when they started, they had nobody left rushing the pass that final 20-some seconds. I mean, it was...
Felt like they only had Micah rushing the passer pretty much all night.
Crazy. You know what's funny? When you talk about that, though, Chief, you know what Daniel Jones has done better is not hold the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got you know, receivers that he has confidence in. Robinson and that Neighbors. I mean, he's got confidence in those guys that they'll be, you know, they just get the ball out. They run those short intermediate routes, run after catch. But that was he looked better than if I'm just going to say this, and I don't know how you guys felt about this. If they would have been able to throw the ball down the field, like if he would have hit, there were some guys that were open.
Oh yeah,
in that game.
Yeah, we said in the post game, like thank goodness Daniel shots. Jones.
And I thought watching the game on TV, I'm like, oh, it's okay, it's open. And you watch on tape, it's open.
Even the one early to Neighbors, it's a completion, but
it's underthrown.
It was underthrown. Yeah.
Well,
might be a touchdown on that play.
You know, it's funny, the one that they had the free play on where they got Carl Lawson to jump off sides,
mm-hmm.
like he's got Slayton down the sidelines there, and like he
underthrows it so Diggs can pick it.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about the play? Diggs never moved. Like it's like they got free play, and Diggs is playing in off coverage. And he never even adjusted until Slayton was right on him. Like he did not even move. And Slayton's running by him, and you're thinking, what is he doing? It's like he was almost staring into the backfield.
He just had no respect for Daniel Jones.
I guess not.
It's like the quarterback can't. It doesn't matter. No. He can't get the ball.
Well, and here. He also might have seen the flag, like seen Carl Lawson jump offside.
Yeah, but it's still a free play. Yeah. If they hit on that, that's sure, a touchdown. Absolutely. That's yeah. a touchdown.
He's got to make sure that isn't a touchdown.
That doesn't happen.
But it's also, 100%. I left that game thinking if that was a competent quarterback that was better than Daniel Jones.
At least on the deep balls.
Yeah, we're talking at a loss today.
Yeah, because they had guys that were running by. Yeah, and the Cowboys were down corners and stuff like that, but. Man, that was one of those things where, like I say, that ball that went over the top of that Hooker tried to, you know, went up for, and it went over him. Because if Wan'Dale Robinson, if he was a little taller, that's a catch.
He'd be a baller.
80% of the receivers in the National Football League, that's a catch.
Yeah.
I mean, the way it came down, and I'm like...
Misjudged it big time there from Hooker.
Well, and misplayed one in the middle of the field. Yeah. He had an interception.
I know. How does he drop that?
I know. I was confused.
Could have saved
by
a touchdown.
Yeah.
They scored on that drive.
Well, another one, too, was the fourth down play they gave up. Yeah. The fourth where Wilson missed the tackle.
And then Leo Fowler had the handoff.
Oh, start breaking.
You watch that. They ran 10 more plays after that.
Yeah.
The Yikes. Defense had to face 10 more plays, 10 more snaps after. If you just make that tackle right there, you get the ball, you're probably driving, you probably finish them off right there. But
that's
man,
the difference in game time, you know, 35 to 25.
Yeah. God, it was crazy. I'm like, just make the tackle, and then they run 10 more plays on you on that series. Just nuts. All right, I mentioned Mozzie Smith. I think we all agree that Mozzie showed up a little bit more last night, right?
Amen.
Yeah, and he was in great spirits after the game. Like, yeah. I think Mozzie has turned a corner, and he knows it, and he's confident and having fun right now. So to think this first-round pick bust could be salvaged and turn into a player, it's pretty exciting right now.
I'll tell you what I think about what happened last night for Mozzie. Remember going into the game, he had the back issue.
Yeah,
he missed practice with the back tightness, or
yeah, we weren't sure
going into
Baltimore
game.
Yeah. A little bit, you know. And then there was the hamstring injury in the game last night. They were looking at him because of his hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
My man played a good game being nicked up. He needs to do that more.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to not let injury, you know, pain. He needs not let pain rule him.
Yeah, hurt not injured.
Yeah, if you got pain, you could play through it. You could be a good player if you still have pain. If you're injured, you're injured. But, you know, if you have pain, you should be able to kind of keep going. And you know, this last couple of weeks, he's had to kind of deal with that and then have a good game. I think that's what he needs. He needs some of these deals where he shows up and it's not perfect. But he fights through it and he has a good game. He kicked John Michael Smith's ass last night.
Yeah, on this thing.
I mean, he really did.
He was bench pressing him five yards in the backfield.
Just the plays I noticed last night, played off double teams for a tackle. When have we seen Mozzie Smith play off a double team for a tackle?
Never.
Got pushed. Kendricks pushed on another run. Kendricks is playing behind him. Kendricks makes the tackle because Mozzie gets so much push inside that it forces the back to have to kind of bounce it a little bit. Kendricks is standing right behind him, though, and able to make the play. He holds the blocks. Kendricks is behind him again. He holds two blocks. Kendricks makes the play behind him again to fill. He fills to make the stop. Mozzie in another play beats a double team block for a tackle on Tracy for no gain. And then he beats Smits on a block for a tackle for loss. I mean, this is Mozzie Smith we're talking about.
Killing it.
You know? I mean, beating double teams, beating single blocks, tackle for loss.
Yeah, it looks like a different player.
Different player for sure. Different player for sure.
How about his off the ball timing? Is that better for you now?
I'll tell you what though, there's times where you watch him, like the last couple games have been really, really bad. This one wasn't as noticeable. This one was far. I mean, it's like he was playing, you know, where he had an eye on the ball. He saw the ball being snapped, and then he was able to get across the line of scrimmage and make some plays. So, good job by him. Watching the tape on the offensive side of the ball a little bit, when this team wants to run the ball, they're going to have to do it with double team blocks. That's going to be the key for them. They're going to have to run the ball. It's going to have to be BB. It's going to have to be BB Smith. Martin, those guys. That's how they're going to run.
They got some serious power. That's when they're how they're going to those combos.
The Dallas's best runs were behind those guys on double team blocks.
Yep.
That got there where the back was able to cut. Dowdle cut, you know, a couple of different times. If they're going to want to run the ball, they're going to have to run it off the double teams.
And I felt like you were starting to see that against Baltimore the week before, moving against a really big, strong defensive line. Like they've got the ability to do that.
Yeah. I mentioned Cooks. They got to design more stuff for Cooks.
It's nothing but comebacks. It's nothing but stop routes. It's hitches. It's just, hey, go try and create separation on 3rd and 12.
Yeah.
And every single time, it's just a stop route.
You're putting him in a bad position. You're not putting your player in a position to succeed with that.
I mentioned the hiding in behind Ferguson. That's stuff you can do.
He's not that hard to do over the middle. The crossers for him, that's where he eats.
Get him on the move.
That's not hard for him to do. Run him behind guys. Let him break off that. If you want to set natural picks for him, that's what you got to do.
You wouldn't send your sprinters to go be a sumo wrestler.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah, you want to come back with Tolbert, go for it.
So many curl routes, man, for all of these guys. But every high leverage, 3rd and long, it's can Cooks get open on a curl route? We'll see.
Yeah. Nice call on the screen by McCarthy. Got to give him some credit for that one. Channeled his inner Andy Reid on that one. The Smith did a really good job of getting just enough of Newbin, the safety, and Dowdle read it perfectly. And so when Smith got that block, Dowdle was able to cut right behind him for the touchdown. It was really, really a great call, well-designed play, off a screen. Called it just, like I say, the absolute right time and well-executed. Okay, the fourth down play. And we were talking about Hunter Lipke. Hunter Lipke saved your ass on that fourth down run because the very next play, what'd they get? They got the touchdown pass to Lamb.
To Lamb, yeah.
Yeah, so here's Hunter Lippe, but just another great effort. We talk about Cooks. I want to give him a little credit. They're going to crack this thing. He's going to come down and crack inside and block. He actually seals to give you the corner because Guyton can't sustain Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but if they don't get the block from Cooks, there's no chance that Hunter Lippe can out. But he get through. He ran through Thibodeau.
Thibodeau's a problem, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Thibodeau is a problem, but Guy just couldn't sustain him on the play. But great job of keeping his balance, and then been able to get the first down. Because again, the very next play, what happened? They were able to protect it. Deuce Vaughn comes in the game. He helps in the blitz pickup. They throw the ball to Lamb. He makes a guy miss. Newbin, the safety's in a bad spot, and now it's up the field for a touchdown. So good job by all those guys all the way around.
Dang, a dam failed in Tennessee. They're having to evacuate the town next to a dam because there's just so much water. Thank you so much for Krusty's Corner,
Brian.
I did want to follow up on Terrence Steele. Other than the Thibodeau blow-by, he was good.
Yeah, he was good.
I mean, Brian Burns to have no pressure for the first time in his career.
Brian Burns was lined up over Steele 17 of his 25 pass rushers. I went and looked that up, and no pressures from Steele on that particular side.
Nice job. Thank you, sir. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Flagtober 2024 starts tomorrow. Free G-Bag flags at every stop for as long as we're there. 10 hours, 10 Whataburger locations. Join us for a burger and a flag. 105 through thefan.com/events for the entire schedule. Okay, we're back with Nick Harris of the Star Telegram as your Cowboys Football Friday continues here in the nation.